Hebrews chapter 10. If you're visiting with us, we have been engaged in a series preaching through the book of Numbers. And last Lord's Day, we looked at the section from the end of chapter 9, and we looked at these trumpets briefly, and I told you I wanted to come back and look at them in more detail. To keep it in context here, you'll remember that at the end of chapter 9, it was where the Lord guided the people. He guided them through the wilderness as His appearance as a cloud of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. And there was another means, the means of the trumpets. They were a means wherein God made His will, His word known to them, where He guided His people through visual means of guidance, two visual means of making His word and His will known, and one audible. And I mentioned last week that more than one scholar relates that to the new covenant, wherein what do we have in the new covenant? Two sacraments. We have one audible. But our focus this morning will be give our attention again to the Word of God, reading Numbers 10 through the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Make two silver trumpets. Of hammered work you shall make them, and you shall use them for summoning the congregation and for breaking camp. And when both are blown, all the congregation shall gather themselves to you at the entrance of the tent. But if they blow only one, then the chiefs, the heads of the tribes of Israel, shall gather themselves. When you blow an alarm, the camps that are on the east side shall set out. And when you blow an alarm, the second time, the camps that are on the south side shall set out. An alarm is to be blown whenever they are to set out. When the assembly is to be gathered together, you shall blow a long blast, but you shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets. The trumpets shall be to you for a perpetual statute throughout your generations. And when you go to war in your land against the adversary who oppress you, and you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, that you may be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from on the day of your gladness also, and at your appointed feast, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace. They shall be a reminder of you before your God. I am the Lord God." Amen. That is God's word. I wonder what images come to your mind when you hear about these two silver trumpets in Numbers chapter 10. Maybe you picture a brass band playing together. Maybe you envision the Israelites singing songs of praise along with these trumpets. And maybe you're wondering why the Reformed Presbyterians are so dense that we read passages like this and still insist on not having instruments in worship. Well, the fact is, these trumpets were in no way musical instruments in the way that we think of musical instruments. They were signaling. They announced something. They issued a proclamation. They were means through which God made His message. And one of their main functions, and it will really be our focus this morning, one of their main functions was to proclaim, to draw attention to enact the sacrifices. They were not, and even if we read forward, for example, in the book of Chronicles under David, when other instruments were introduced, we never see instruments used in conjunction. The instruments were tied to. I'm not going to say much about this because this isn't the purpose of this text or the purpose of the sermon, but this is why historically, confessionally reformed churches throughout the ages have understood that because these instruments were tied to the sacrifice, and because Jesus Christ fulfilled instruments are not for new covenant. They were tied It's interesting when you come to the New Testament, when we read instrumental language in our praises, it's all tied to our hearts. We make melody with our hearts. Our sacrifice of praise is the fruit. I digress. I want to make the point from the outset that I think that if we look at this passage and immediately think that it's about instruments in worship, instruments in the terms of musical instruments, I think we miss the trumpets issued a proclamation. They proclaimed a message from God. They were a means. The Lord's word was declared to His. And what I hope to show you is that in the Bible, we heard is very often linked with the voice of God, and then also with the voice of God as it is heard. Now, if you look at your outline, I don't usually do this, but really my main point right up front, so you can get it in your heads and have it before you as we have some work to do this morning. Because if the trumpets were indeed tied with the sacrificial system, then that means, like everything else in that sacrificial system, they are fulfilled somehow in and you'll see the main point I want to get before you. The trumpets were symbolic of the voice of the gospel sounding over the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, calling to remembrance our sins that was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. And as we hear these gospel trumpets each and every Lord's Day, morning and evening, we are then to go out into the wilderness, enter into spiritual battle, so to speak, as good soldiers of Jesus. The trumpets foreshadowed the God being proclaimed over His finished, sounding forth to the world that Jesus Christ was crucified, dead, and buried, and by His sacrifice. One thing to make that point, it's another to see how it comes from. We need to begin by thinking about how the trumpets, how were they used? And if you're filling in the blanks there, we see, first of all, that they were used for worship. Worship and war. We learn first that they were used to call the people to worship. Verses 1 to 3, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Make two silver trumpets of hammered work, you shall make them, and you shall use them for summoning the congregation and for breaking camp. And when both are blown, all the congregation shall gather themselves to you at the entrance of the meeting." They called the people to worship. And if you read on in verse 4, we learn that if they were blown only once, it basically called a presbytery meeting. And then we see in verses 5 to 7, they were used really to call. And then verse 9, they were a call to war, and along with that, a promise that the Lord would rule over their enemy. Verse 9, "And when you go to war in your land against the adversary who oppressed, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets that may be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be..." Now we learn in verse 1 that these trumpets were ordained by God. They weren't the invention of any man. They were instituted at God's command, made. In verse 8, we learn that only the priests could blow them. "And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpet." And so here we have God ordained instruments that were connected to the priest. And that means, along with all the other parts of the sacrificial, somehow they the gospel. Somehow we should expect them to be fulfilled with some greater reality in the new covenant. Now, the application in which, as these trumpets are used for worship, is, does that not describe? We gather, and then the remaining 6 days we go out into the wilderness and do We put on the full armor of God on the Lord's Day, and then we go out and we go and enter in. And I think here we are reminded that we will not be to go to war with courage and with hope, with the armor of Christ guarding us, unless if we are not gathered in the presence of our great conqueror to be more than conquerors and do spiritual battle. But secondly, we see that these trumpets were blown over the sacrifices. Second half of verse 10, "You shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings." Now, the burnt offerings and the peace offerings were two of the principal sacrifices in the Old Covenant. And I read those passages from Leviticus because what they pointed to and what they symbolized. If you're able to do so, turn back with me to Leviticus chapter 1. Again, this is the burnt offering. And we read, "If his offering is a burnt offering from the herd, he shall offer a male without blemish, shall bring it to the entrance of the tent of meeting." I want you to listen to this language, "that he may be accepted before the Lord. He shall lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement. And then he shall kill the bull before the Lord, and Aaron's sons, the priests, shall bring the blood and throw the blood against the sides of the altar that is at the entrance." You read how the animals gutted and the different pieces are taken up. Now, the principal idea behind the burnt offering was that of atonement. And although we don't use this word often, I heard one modern Reformed commentator say we need to bring back the word, because a propitiation is a satisfaction, a quenching of the burning wrath. That's why, and we'll say, well, think about how often are spoken of in terms of it was a satisfaction wherein the wrath of God against. And it's interesting, but it's also very important. See, an important side note on the burnt offering, and that's where we learn that the priest who offered the burnt offering was able to think about the imagery. A body is burned, blood is shed, portion is given back to the priest, gets to eat of. Turn over a page to the practices. Just look at verses 1 to 2. "If his offering is a sacrifice of a peace offering, if he offers an animal from the herd, male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord, and he shall lay his hand on the head of his offering and kill it. And Aaron and the son shall throw the blood against the side." Read something very similar. The principal meaning was really the same, but with an atonement for sin, propitiation through an atoning sacrifice, but also the result that the worshiper had with God. And similar to the burnt offering, where the priest got to eat a portion, we go to Leviticus 7:15, and we learn that with the peace offering, with both of these substitutionary sacrifice, where a body was broken, where blood was shed, there was a communion in the benefits of that. You see, if you're thinking of, because in both of these sacrifices, there lies the message of double imputation. That image of the person laying their hands on the head, symbolic of their sins, onto that animal. And that animal died in their place, quenching the wrath of God. But then the portion of the animal given back to the priest and the friends, this is all about Jesus. It's about the cross where Jesus offered the final sacrifice for our sins, where he took upon him all of our sin and our guilt, where our sin was laid upon him. And he offered that sacrifice of propitiation. Jesus credits to us. And we have ongoing communion with our Savior. We those sacrifices where the animal was slain, the blood was shed, the body burned. Oh. And what I find interesting is, you know, with the burnt offering, the priest got the peace offering, the worship, and in the new covenant, we are all a kingdom of priests. And that means we may all enjoy. And as strange as it sounds, we read about these animals being gutted and torn apart. It just seems so far removed from us. And yet I would submit to you that the wherein we have elements that put the body and blood of Jesus, his sacrifice for our sins, that sharing and all of his benefits being. And so these trumpets were set over these sacrifices. When were they to be, that they are to be sounded at the, on the day of your gladness also, and at your appointed feast, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices. Now, again, we need to go to the book of Leviticus 23. You can turn. I feel like once we've had kids, we have to manage the kids and turn in her Bible and not let one of the kids. And it outlines many feasts of the Old Covenant. We read of the Passover, the Feast of Feast of Weeks. There was actually a Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of. These were all big feasts in the Old Covenant. But I want you to notice, what is the feast? 1 to 3. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, these are the appointed feasts of the Lord that you shall proclaim. Holy convocations, they are my appointed feasts. 6 days work shall be done. But on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn, a holy convocation. You shall do no work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your." I think we need to remind ourselves of this. We think of our Old Testament brothers and sisters, and we may think that they only worship the Lord at these big feasts. But like us, the feast that had the prominent place in their, that's the appointed, on that weekly Sabbath for them, that trumpet was blown. Now, you can get the picture here. The priests with their trumpets, and then the high priest beginning the sacrifice, and then the trumpets are blown over the sacrifices, drawing everyone's attention to them. Basically saying, behold these sacrifices. Remember what they mean. Remember. But remember the provision of forgiveness through this atoning sacrifice. Remember the communion. Because they were prone to not. They were prone to forget their importance. And I would submit to you the trumpet sound of the God. To forget the sacrifice. To minimize our sin and forget our sins again. So let's put this together and come back to the trumpets are symbolic of the voice sounding over the sacrifice of Christ, calling to remembrance our sins, but also Christ's blood that was shed through propitiation, through satisfaction. Also declaring that we're thinking, how do you know that the trumpets are symbolic of the. And so that leads us next to think about. We sang Psalm 40 before. And in that psalm, we hear Christ speak prophetically about. And what we see when we look at the scriptures, we see that the voice of the Lord is very often like it. This is well-established symbolic imagery. In our call to worship, we heard God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound. A parallelism, the Lord's voice, His shout. But then we go to the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians 16, and we read about the second coming of Jesus. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and perhaps the most clear illustration was from the text we read from Revelation chapter, where John says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard." like a saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven church, seven lampstands. And in that symbolic imagery, we are standing in the midst of his. And it's interesting in Revelation, the voice speaking like a trumpet is almost, in chapter 4, verse 1, John refers back. He says, in the first voice, which I had heard speaking, the ordinary appearance, Jesus is among us, speaking to us. This is where his sheep, here, and yet we know that, and the fact is, we look through the scriptures, and he has considered human messengers. If you think about that imagery, Christ's voice speaks like he told John to write it down in a book, send it to the seven churches, and we read that confusing statement about those in the Old Testament. And so that means the trumpets are of Christ's messengers in what, but it is referring to, and we see this in Isaiah. The Lord says to the prophet Isaiah, cry aloud, do not hold back, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression. Prophet, the voice of the preacher is likened to a trumpet. And a good number of commentators, Calvin and E.J., view Isaiah 40. In Isaiah 40, we read, a voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight, that Isaiah is talking about. It was John the Baptist. And what was John the Baptist's first gospel proclamation? Behold, his first gospel trumpet. And friends, that is, and we know that, and yet the pulpit should be a place where the gospel is sounded over the, where our sins are called, where we behold the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for the forgiveness. For we are assured of the full satisfaction of the wrath of God, the crediting of His, the peace and communion that we have through the blood. You see, just as our brothers and sisters of old needed that trumpet because they were prone to forget that sacrifice and the importance of it and the centrality of every Lord's Day morning and evening symbolism in these trumpets, he writes, the trumpets were of one piece. So is the gospel message. It knows no mixture. It's no piecemeal feck. It's not partly grace and partly works. It calls not men to finish what from first to last, in origin, in progress, in conclusion. Gospel salvation. All merit is in Christ. He opens heaven. He washes and forgives. He presents His children pure and faultless. Their pardon and their fitness is His. They follow Him because He calls. They love because He wins them. They conquer. Their grace is offspring of His love. Their glory is the payment. No diverse metal. Right now, behold Jesus. But this trumpet blast is not. All of us, young and old, get to sound the gospel trumpet over the sacrifice. Friends, as we sing the psalms to one another, and the psalms that we are told are the word of Christ, we're all taking part, sounding the gospel over our great Savior. But now, all of us, Colossians 3, language, let the word of Christ, teaching and admonish one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and work together, collectively, to Jesus Christ. We desperately, we're so prone to minimize in the preaching of the word. And we, all of us together here, are part of the fulfillment. All of us get to take part. Reader, heed the trumpet call to worship and keep the holy day where the gospel trumpet is now within your hand. Hear and remember Calvary, and sing, shout, pour forth music. Let all that is within you swell the adoring chorus. Gaze on the cross, and let exulting hallelujahs test how fervently you love, how wondrously you extol, how undoubtedly you trust that death which is your life, that blood which is your ransom. But thirdly and more, we noted that pattern of worship. And friends, having heard the gospel trumpet sounded over the sacrifice of Christ's day, being reminded of His greatness and His glory, we are then to go out into the wilderness as good soldiers of Jesus, from the gospel in the way, in our attitudes, in our sound, the gospel calling people. Friends, this is where Jesus. So friends, behold the sacrifice of Christ. Remember your sins, but more than that, remember His blood that was shed for the. And having beheld His glory, blast of the gospel, having the full armor of God, go as good soldiers of Jesus. Our great God and Heavenly Father, we thank You that You spoke to our fathers through the prophets, but in these last days You have spoken to us, and that we this day, Lord, we thank You for His sacrifice for our sins that made. Thank You for His righteousness given to us by faith. And we pray, Lord, that we might enjoy the blessed communion, having seen His glory this day.